This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday, Feel Good Football Friday, Feel Good Postseason Baseball Friday. We are doing our best. We'll get more of your Met and Yankee calls in this segment at 888-808-1019. Of course, we are doing the game between the Giants and the Eagles on Sunday for Compass Media Network, so you won't be able to hear us here on WFAN. You will get the regular crew of Bob Poppin, Carl Banks, Harold Cross, the whole thing. For us, we're going to be nationally on like 125 stations, and maybe if we figure out exactly how you could listen, we will tweet that out. But I'm excited. It's the first time I will have watched a game on an NFL sideline and been down there. I've been on pre-game. I did sidelines for 2 years for Pitt football college games, and I saw some future pros when I did it. I was fortunate enough to watch Aaron Donald in his junior and senior season there at Pitt dominate everybody. I saw Jameis Winston and Kelvin Benjamin and Manti Te'o and Khalil Mack up in Buffalo. I got a chance to see some of these guys, which is really cool, but it's a different story when you're on the sideline for an NFL game, so I'm absolutely thrilled to be able to do that. And Malik Nabers is back, and that is a huge deal for the Giants. Saquon Barkley coming back to MetLife. We'll see if he gets an extra boost, and you heard Phil say it yesterday or Wednesday that he looks really good. So the offensive line problems with the Giants are a real issue.
Well, the Eagles got one, too. They lost their best tackle, Jordan Mailata.
Right.
And they also lost Darius Slay. I don't think he's going to be playing either.
No, I don't think he is.
Backs. So right. You're going to have young defensive backs, young wide receivers. I mean, you know, quite frankly, I would think that it should be a highly competitive game well into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and the Eagles really haven't looked great the entire year.
Win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. But now they have their full complement of
wide receivers,
players.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's, you know, so this is what you want. This is what they wanted. They wanted Saquon Barkley on the field with the Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown.
Yeah, and of course, talked about Andrew Thomas, what that means for Daniel Jones and his contract and the injury guarantees and all of that stuff. I mean, really, for me, Daniel Jones and that offense against this Philadelphia defense, it's had its issues as well. You know, you score 24 points, I think you can win the game because I think the Giants defense is good enough to keep that Philadelphia offense, even with the full complement of stars, under 24 points. I really think that they could win this game. If they're going to win this game, it's going to be something like 24-20.
One of the biggest problems that Philadelphia has right now is that they
their
are
head
not
coach.
Well, whatever, but they're not creating any turnovers on defense. They only have two turnovers. Mm. Think about that.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And that's the lowest in the NFL this season. And it's one of the things that, you know, it's why their games are low scoring. It's why their games tend to be tight. It's because their defense is not getting any turnovers. So if the Giants can keep that stat intact and not turn the football over, like I said, that's usually the key that determines whether or not these games are tight in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, going to be a beautiful day out there, so I lucked out. Not going to be raining, not going to be cold and windy. It's going
to
be beautiful
over there because you haven't been on the side, you know, sideline for a long time.
I know.
So you got to be aware. You got to have your head on a swivel.
Trust me, I know. I know where to be, where not to be. But yeah, I obviously move a lot slower than I did in my 20s when I was doing that job. with Pitt football, so I'm going to stay further away from the action than I normally do. And by the way, I always used to make fun of like how many people are on an NFL sideline. I'm like, it looks ridiculous. I mean, it looks like people are going to a concert. I'm going to be one of those people now.
You are now
one of the 10 million people on the NFL sideline.
You know, you got the local radio broadcast teams, and they have their guys on the sideline or their gals on the sideline. You got the National Broadcasting TV who have their sideline people, and now you're going to be down there.
Yep, that's right. I'm going to be down there. I wonder, does McMonagle still hold the parabolic mic down there for the Giants? He used to do that for a while.
He does?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I'll just stand next to him and talk to him about the Yankees the whole time. No, I'm gonna be in the mix, man. I told you I got an in with the Eagles, too. I don't have his number, though. I got to find him on the field, the equipment manager. Greg Delametros. And by the way, if Chris Vaccaro is listening, the head of the Suffolk County Sports Hall of Fame, if he's not in there already, Greg Delametros needs to be in that Suffolk County Sports Hall of Fame. This guy has been with the Eagles now for, it's got to be 20 years, and he survived every coaching change. Everybody loves him. He went from Belport to Stony Brook and now to the Eagles. He's the head equipment manager for the NFL team. That's a big deal.
Yeah, but how long was he the equipment manager at Belport? And
4 years.
That's 4 years. And then Stony Brook?
Couple years, yeah.
Yeah, that's not enough to get to the Suffolk County Hall of Fame.
What are you talking about?
I mean, don't you have to do like some like more stuff like in Suffolk County?
I don't know.
Or you think it's just because he came from Suffolk County?
Because he came from Suffolk
County. And because now he's been with the Eagles for 20 years.
Yeah. I just feel like you get a little more respect than he gets. You see all these, you know, people.
I think you just talked about how much respect gets because he kept his job there through all the different coaching changes.
That's right. Andy Reid, Chip Kelly, Doug Peterson. Now Nick Sirianni, all those guys, every single one of them.
You know, Nick Sirianni has the highest winning percentage for an Eagles head coach. And he's fighting with the fans.
Yeah, he's got a screw loose. He absolutely has a screw loose.
I think they all have a screw loose. Yeah, I mean, in order to do those jobs, there has to be a little bit of that screw loose, looseness.
Yeah, but like, Brian Daboll is fiery as he is not going to be screaming at the fans. He's just not.
No, I know that. No, there's no way. I mean, no. But by the way, no coach does that
except for him. That's what I'm saying.
And I, you know, I don't know what's been said about him to the degree at which he would do what he did and yell back at them. You know,
remember
what I mean?
That caller who called up and it was actually confirmed. He was wearing a Giants hat in like. Oh, what was the name of that? Like Doylestown or something. I don't know where it was.
And he ran into Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, and then Nick Sirianni was yelling at him and then threatening him at the Giants hat and everything. We were like, that's crazy.
I think he was joking around.
All right, but the point is...
Serious.
The point is that Nick Sirianni is always ready to battle. He's always ready to battle. So, I think that guy's a problem, and I'd be shocked if he were here next year. All right, let's go to Cooper in Philly. What's going on, Cooper?
Hey, guys, what's up? I am the internal negative Jets and Mets fan, but my question for you guys is, what did you think of the strike zone last night? You talked about the Dodgers not swinging at, you know, bad pitches, but also the Quintana's pitches were, you know, I'm sitting there going, how is that not a strike?
Close.
Yeah, but he gave him a couple of strikes, too. There was two 2-0 counts that Quintana threw a ball on the outside part of the plate to a right-handed hitter that he gave him for strikes that were not in the box, too. So, it's every ump has a different, so he wasn't given the high strike. But he was given that outside corner strike.
Yeah, yes.
So, I mean, each guy's different. I mean, I don't really know if these umpires, Cooper, are affecting what's going on in the game. The games are blown out, you know?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, you talk about, like, their patience on the plate. But, you know, a couple of them were, you know, I thought he had them. But anyway, if the Mets are ever going to win, this is the way they're going to do it. It's been like that all year. If you guys wouldn't mind saying hi to my kids, Dylan and Noah, we're watching you on TV right now, and I hope you enjoy the game tonight.
All right, Cooper. Dylan, Noah, what up, guys? No school today? Or maybe you're young. They're too young
for
school.
Maybe too young
for school.
Yeah.
All right.
But they're watching Boomer and Geo. I like
That's
it.
That's right. Dylan and Noah. getting older. So when people say that their little kids are watching, then I'm like self-conscious about me making off-color jokes and stuff. Like now,
well, people expect it.
Like, sorry, Dylan and Noah, if I say something that you're not supposed to hear. That's your daddy's fault, not my fault.
The term for poopies.
Let's go to Jay in Queens. What's going on, Jay?
Hey, guys. Love your show. Listen to you guys every morning when I drop off my son and I'm on my way to work. But I was at Wednesday's game. What a disappointment. And I have tickets for tonight's game. And I'm sitting here thinking and listening to you guys and thinking, you know, maybe they do come out of this. You know, they win tonight. You've got a shot with Manaea on game six. And who knows what could happen after that. But I'm sitting here thinking, you know, is that a reality? And should I go tonight or today's game? Or should I sell my tickets? Or should I...
You know what? It sounds like, are you a season ticket holder?
Yes, I am.
All right. So, listen, this is unexpected that they are here. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. But, you know, I'm one of those positive Mets fans, and I'm like Gio's mom who watches the Mets regardless of where they are in the season. You know, I just love my Mets.
Well, then you got to go. Yeah. You got to go. You got 100% you got to go, because I will say this. If they lose, they do deserve a standing ovation when they walk off the field for the last
time. Right, and you get a chance to be there for that. Now, the Boomer took the words right out of my mouth. It's like you get to, in that scenario, which we're not hoping for or thinking is going to happen, you're at least there to give them the send-off and say, hey, thanks for all the amazing memories as a season ticket holder and a Mets fan. So, I don't know, and you're there. You were there on Wednesday. You said, "I mean, you're freezing your ass off up there Wednesday. They're getting blown out. Like you already had that miserable experience,
and it's going to be a beautiful day today.
It's going to be much nicer today. Like I don't know. I mean, unless you're in a financial situation where the tickets selling it is going to really really help you out, I say you go. So I don't know, man.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And I think I'm going to go tonight.
I think you should, Jay. I personally think you got to go.
This guy sounds like a sad sack. You don't want him sitting in the stands?
Yeah, I know he sounds like he was really brought down by last night's performance. Like, again, like when we came in here the other day, it was the same feeling. And I understand it. They're a machine. The Dodgers are a machine. I didn't think it was going to be like this, but their stars have shown up, man. Their stars have shown up.
He did say he was an overly positive Mets fan, but he's just down this morning.
He's just down. You know, I would just say, look, man, if it is the last game, this team gave us a lot of memories this year.
Yeah, I mean, and
especially the second half of the season. I mean, come on.
Like, all right, so you went to a game. He went to the game Wednesday. It was a bad experience. If he goes to this game, it's a bad experience. It's like, okay, you know, I had a couple bad experiences. But if he doesn't go, and the Mets have this epic victory and they launch themselves, yeah, and you miss it, you're like, what the hell am I doing?
That's the other side of it. You know, there is a positive side to it.
Yeah. I mean, until it's over, there's always a chance. And we can give you 10 million examples of that. Just look to the Yankees and the Guardians last night.
Yeah, I mean, if that guy's going to go, he's got to turn his attitude around.
Stop walking around work like a loser!
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not doing that today. Right.
We're not doing that today. We were walking around work like a loser after Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles. There's no two ways about that.
That was a rough one.
Yeah.
That was a rough one.
Yeah, that was a bad morning. But not today.
I mean, guy got hurt in the season. You know, there goes the season.
Right. Four plays in. Just incredible.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday. We'll make our picks next hour. Feel Good Football Friday, trying to make it a Feel Good Baseball Friday. Jerry Recco is back with us. He's got an update. What's going on, Jerry?
Morning, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We have heard these calls from John Sterling. We've heard these calls from Tom Hamilton. How about if you were watching on TV, Brian Anderson on TBS? Yankees Guardians last night in the eighth inning. The Yankees down two, and Aaron Judge comes to the plate.
Ready for a 1-2. Here he comes. Judge, line drive, right field, hit well, and it is up and out! Judge has homered! The game is tied at three! Incredible! Aaron Judge in the clutch!
How about that? Aaron Judge
I've never seen him that fired up. I understand it's his biggest postseason home run, but, I mean, he really was emotional, which is unlike him. It was actually good to see.
Good moment for him, and it was a better moment for the Yankees about 3 or 4 minutes later with Giancarlo Stanton up next.
In the ninth inning, gave up a home run to Kerry Carpenter. That ball's hit well. Deep center field. Way back there. Giancarlo Stanton! A home run! Judge and Stanton go back to back, and the New York Yankees have grabbed the lead.
Yeah, 4-3.
How about Stephen Vogt challenges if Stanton touched first base?
I saw that.
I was like, you want to test him for steroids too while you're at it? I mean, just deal with the reality, will you?
I was thinking from the pitcher's perspective, it's got to be like for a quarterback throwing an interception for a touchdown. There is nothing worse. You feel awful, and you feel like there's, in the case of football, 80,000 people staring at you knowing that you just made a mistake or thinking that it was your mistake. Mm. But there is nowhere for these relievers to hide. And there were three relievers that gave up three bombs.
That's right.
Or more than three bombs, actually. Two bombs for Class A. And then, you know, of course, Weaver gives up one and then Holmes gives up one.
All right, so let's get to those. After the Yankees tacked on another run in the top of the ninth, they were up 5-3. You felt pretty good about it. And then all of a sudden you didn't when Noel came up as a pinch hitter. That's his nickname, as you hear Ron Darling there in the background as well with Anderson on TBS. And so they're tied at five. Now you go to the 10th inning. The Yankees don't do a whole lot. And in the bottom of the 10th.
Game three. Fry. Deep drive. Left field. Fry's watching. It is a walk-off home run. David Fry lights up the Cleveland night.
Yes, he did.
Oh, man, it's like a fry festival.
7-5, the final score as the Guardians jump back into the series and take game three in 10. We mentioned Judge, though, and you heard that clip from Brian Anderson that Judge came up.
You know what that is?
What's that?
That's the air going out of the Yankee balloon.
That's how Brandon opened the show yesterday with the Mets.
Oh.
By going...
Okay. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, Judge did come up clutch, even though they lost, and he's our thriving player of the game. Here he was reacting to the night.
I would just say that's a baseball game right there. You know, it's, you know, like I said, I wish we were on the other end of it, but, you know, just back and forth. Guys having great at-bats when they needed to. Pitchers coming up in some big spots, and on game four.
So, Judge, our Yankees thriving player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThrivewellInfusion.com. Couple of other clips. Giancarlo Stanton says, just a wild night.
Back and forth. You know, that's the crazy game we play. And, you know, it's never over to the last out.
And Luke Weaver gives up the big home run to blow the save. He knows so close.
One pitch away, honestly. 0-2 to Lane Thomas there. Just got to execute. Just really felt like I let the team down there, myself down.
And then it was Holmes that gave up the home run to Fry, and that's your ball game. Stephen Vogt, after the game, very honest when he says, we went to Noel for one reason and one reason only, and he cashed in.
He pinch hit to hit a homer. You know, that's why we sent him up there. And, you know, the thing I can say about John Kenzie, no matter what, he was struggling, not struggling, you name it, he steps up and he gives you everything he has.
And he did last night with that bomb of a home run. So game four.
He knew as soon as he hit it, man.
Yeah.
Bat comes right flying out of his hands. It's got to be an awesome feeling.
Is there a better one? Yeah, really. I mean, is there, I mean, of all the things in sports, I mean, game-winning three, you know.
Game-winning goal in overtime,
right,
game
I mean,
seven.
This is right up there with every single one of them. I mean, it really is. To hit a bomb like that, to either tie a game,
win. Would you rather do it at home with the crowd going crazy or in a crazy environment on the road to shut them up?
That's a good question. Or you do it like Eli did it with Plaxico Burress, right?
Yeah, in a Super Bowl in a neutral location.
Undefeated team, yeah.
I'd want to be at home. I think that's the coolest thing in the world. If I get to do it one time.
Right.
You see all the fans yelling for you and stuff. I always think about that. Like when a guy scores a touchdown. Like Tommy DeVito last year, he ran in a touchdown. And like he was at home and he like looked up at the crowd. Yep. And I'm like, what does that feel like? A New Jersey guy just scored a touchdown for the Giants. He looks up, everybody's screaming for him.
That's
How great
true.
Is that?
You're right. So you got Luis Gil and Gavin Williams tonight starting in this game. God knows if either of them go more than three innings. They haven't pitched in what feels like a month. I guess it's at least 3 weeks for both of them. First pitch with John and Susan on the Fan at 8.08 p.m. As for the Mets, things did not go well for them at all.
2-0. Here's the pitch. Betts clucks one down the left field line. That's a base hit. He really turned on that one. Taylor turns around third. He heads home to score. Ohtani rounding third. He's heading home. The cutoff throw. There will be no throw. It's eaten by Lindor in left. Mookie Betts at second, shaking his hips.
And he could. That was part of a 10-2 Dodgers win. Betts had four hits on the night, including a two-run home run to go along with that two-run double as the Dodgers take a 3-1 series lead. Tommy Edman drove in three runs. Ohtani, a home run. Max Muncy keeps getting on base. Here's Carlos Mendoza. Man, that lineup. Oof.
He's not only Ohtani. He's Mookie. He's Teoscar. He's Freddie, even though he wasn't there. And then the bottom of the lineup. And then you got Muncy there, too. And then, you know, Kike doing things that Kike does this time of the year.
When did Kike Hernandez drop the F-bomb on FS1? Was that last night or the night before? Where he asked, are we live? I don't know if you saw this.
I did not see it. I thought that was in the previous series.
Is that what it was? So that was something they brought back from the previous series.
Right,
because
I saw
that going around last night. Like, wait,
no.
I didn't see it on TV. Here's Pete Alonso. We'll be fine. And he says it really in the only way that Pete Alonso could say it.
The one word I can think of the 2024 Mets other than grimace is resiliency.
I'm with you, Pete.
The one word I can think of the 2024 Mets other than grimace is resiliency.
All right, so we're just
let that go.
Yeah.
it's a tough moment. It's,
you know,
you got them at the wrong time.
Right. If this were May or June or something, I'd had something else to say. But we got, you know, backs are against the wall here. I'm with my guys.
You got to be with your guys, man.
I'm with my guys here.
I love Pete, but whoa. I could have went with Haktua, I suppose.
Oh, my God. See, that would have been hilarious. Man. There's two words that define this Mets season in 2024. It's Haktua.
And if it's not Hakatua, it's resiliency. Good night, everybody.
Exactly.
He was asked if he's thinking about Game 5 potentially being his last home game as a Met, which he said, no, I am not. So we shall see. Here's Fred.
Been down that road before?
We have, but yes. Now you're staring at it again, yeah. So it comes up again. Here was the quote you were talking about from Francisco Lindor being on 3-1.
If you have no belief, you shouldn't be here. You know, you got to believe. You got to fight for what we want, you know, for what you want. You got to fight for it.
And they will be able to fight for it again today. Brandon Nimmo.
We never give up until it's over, so we're gonna keep going, and if we come back from this, then it's gonna be a heck of a story. You know, we're gonna be adding to that whole Grimace OMG stuff.
Storybook says he didn't go with Hakatua, OMG and Grimace. Here's Dave Roberts. He is up 3-1, but his team taking nothing for granted.
We still have a lot of work to do. We got to win one more game this series. I love the way that our guys haven't let off the gas in the sense of, you know, I think that, you know, the outcome of the last two games, certainly if you watch the games doesn't tell the story. And so the way we were able to add on the last couple nights has been huge.
Yeah, they've been outscored by a lot in the three games that they lost, shut out twice, and then last night 10-2. You've got David Peterson and Jack Flaherty going tonight at Citi Field. Should mention, too, Mark Vientos did homer right after the Ohtani home run, so his postseason, which has been pretty good, continues. NFL-wise, you had the Broncos and the Saints last night in New Orleans.
Next is in the shotgun. Javonte to his right, to his left. He hands off Javonte to the five, and he walks into the end zone with a Denver touchdown, untouched. And Javonte knew it was a touchdown when he got to the five-yard line.
Yeah, there was nobody there, no resistance. And that was part of a 33-10 win for the Broncos. Probably the only negative for the Broncos is the fact that they kicked a million field goals and probably could have won this game by even more. But Javonte Williams had two touchdowns on the night. Cody Barton with a 52-yard fumble return for a touchdown. And speaking of returns, it was another return for Sean Payton to New Orleans. He got the game ball afterwards.
Meant a lot. Because, you know, there were a lot of, you know, moments here. And you get a chance to see old players that are, you know, that are here. And then to be with this team and this ownership group, it's the reason you miss it. You know, the 1 year out and you miss relationships and you miss making memories.
And here was Bo Nix on Peyton getting the ball.
Saints mean a lot to him. He was there for a while, had amazing success, and it's tough to go back to a place that, you know, you called home for that long, and you know you fought for, and now you know you're playing against. So it was special. It was a great moment. Happy for him.
Broncos now 4-3. Saints 2-5. I mean, we talked about the injuries to the wide receivers. Paulson Adebo, their cornerback, broke his leg late in this game too last night. So it just continues and continues for New Orleans, not to mention Derek Carr is still out. So their good start to the season has gone into the tank very, very quickly. Sunday, the Giants take on the Eagles. Here's Daniel Jones. He talks about Saquon Barkley coming back to MetLife Stadium.
Great teammate, great friend, obviously a really good player. Spent a lot of time together on and off the field. Someone who helped me out a ton as I was, you know, getting into the league and through my first few years. So I have a ton of respect. Appreciation for who he is.
How do you think he gets received Sunday? A mix, or you think he gets booed? What do you think?
I don't think he gets booed. I think a mix.
I
think a lot of people loved him and like being around him, and they loved the performance that he put forth. It just,
there's not going to be a lot of boos. There'll be some cheers. It's not going to be sort of crazy standing ovation.
I only wonder because of the callers to the station when he went there, how pissed they were he went to Philly. Not so much that he wasn't a Giant anymore, but the fact that he went to the Eagles.
Well, I mean, maybe the only opportunity he had.
I think a lot of Giants fans that wanted Saquon to stay blame the Giants more than Saquon.
Fair. Sunday night, the Jets are in Pittsburgh, take on the Steelers. A little
video
bit of
video tribute.
Oh, without a doubt.
Definitely video tribute.
I was Saquon. Right? I mean, they did a video tribute for Kevin Durant for the Nets. And
do they do that in football, though? They do video tribute. I know they do it in basketball and even baseball, but they do it in football stadiums?
I'm sure they will.
I think you got to do it now. I think it feels like, you know, every team's doing something like this.
Yeah, you might be right. The Jets will have a little bit of a different look. We know Devontae Adams now with them. Here's Sauce Gardner. Yeah, it's pretty cool having him here, but we still need to focus.
Man, I'm excited, man. I'm excited. You know, I'm looking, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. You know, but I'm just trying to focus on the defense. You know what I'm saying?
And they got to do their job for sure. The Jets and Steelers, the Sunday night game in the NFL this weekend. The Rangers took on the Red Wings last night. They didn't get 1-2, but how about three goals from your guy they call the Breadman?
Foxwell quarterback thinks. Here's Panera now. Top of the circle. Rips one, and he scores. Artemi Panera. Panarin has both goals in the hockey game.
Snipes.
Four on the season, and it's 2-0 Rangers.
And that was his second of the three on the night. 5-2 the final. Jonathan Quick, 29 saves. Steve Levy on, was it ESPN Plus last night?
Yeah, they're with the call. Hulu and ESPN Plus, yes.
Devils beat the Senators 3-1. Blues shut out the Islanders in overtime, 1-0. You got the Lynx game.
How more ridiculous can these streaming services be named? You know, like really, Hulu and Peacock and Roku. Like, one day you just could be like, hey, you could watch the Rangers-Islanders game on Schnurf. You know?
No, that would be the Gotham Sports app.
Right. Exactly. And the Mets tonight on... It's so stupid, the names of these things.
And there's too many of them. There really are. There's too many of them.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, we're all paying for something.
I like Snurf.
Right, Schnurfle.
Right. Schnurfle. What is it on? Is it on Hulu? Is it on Max? Is it on Netflix? Or is it on Schnurf? I think Schnurf, it's a Schnurf game, right?
We're not far away from that.
No.
Speaking of games, I'll give you one. All right?
Oh, okay.
This is a pretty good one.
Yes.
Our game Sunday will be on an Odyssey station. You've heard of them, called KMOX.
Oh, right.
St. Louis. That's a big station.
Yeah. Big station.
Pretty good. Yeah, so
you know what they have?
Big stick.
You got a big stick? You got a big 50,000 watt stick?
Big stick.
There you go.
All right, so that's the best.
That's an Odyssey station.
So you go to the Odyssey app and you can find it there.
Yes, you can.
There you go.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, there's controversy out in Pittsburgh right now I haven't seen where they've announced who is going to start against the New York Jets on Sunday night, but everybody thinks it's going to be Russell Wilson.
That's right.
Now, Justin Fields has come out and said, you know, I haven't really helped my own case because I haven't played great, but and I appreciate the honesty and I appreciate his awareness. And, you know, maybe they want to go with Russell or whatever, and he's trying to be non-confrontational or controversial. Meanwhile, Ben Roethlisberger says, I'd keep Justin Fields in there. So, you know, Ben Roethlisberger has weighed in. And, you know, that carries a lot of weight with the Pittsburgh Steelers fans. And internally, supposedly coming out of the locker room, is that there are a lot of guys that want Justin Fields to stay as the quarterback.
Yeah, Russell Wilson is, wherever he goes, is not liked by his teammates, a majority of them. We have found that out. Pete Carroll, when he beat the Broncos in week one, a couple of years ago when he was still the head coach of the Seahawks and Russell Wilson was the starting quarterback of the Broncos, he said this meant a lot to a lot of guys in this room. And he was asked, well, why? And he goes, well, yeah, I think you can figure that out yourself. I'm not surprised at all that even though Justin Fields hasn't played great, that the locker room has his back because he's just more of a football-type guy than Russell Wilson is. He's a cheeseball, corny, unrelatable, cringeworthy douche, and it's impossible to like the guy. So
always run for vice president.
he's the worst. Okay. He is the worst. And but then again, here you are. If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're like, hell, you know, we got a really good defense. You know, we got some weapon. We got George Pickens. We need to get more involved. And maybe Russell Wilson get this offense going just a little bit more, and then, you know, we could be more in the conversation in the AFC. So I understand what Mike Tomlin's thinking and maybe giving him a shot, but, you know, nobody likes Russell Wilson anymore. Nobody.
Look, at the end of the day, Quinnen Williams and the Jets defense are going to have to stop their running game. That's what they're going to try to do, and they'll do it either with Russell Wilson. You know, they'll move him around. And remember, Russell Wilson hasn't played any football in a Steeler uniform, what to speak of, right? So this would be his first foray onto the field against his Jet defense, which to me is, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is struggling through 6 weeks of playing quarterback for the Jets. You know, I mean, so you can imagine how hard it's going to be for Russell Wilson to just go out there. And the thing about Russell, I would just say, is that he tends to be, he's like, the older he's gotten, the more careful he's become. So there's not this, you got to worry about the ball being thrown over your head.
Right.
Everything's going to be like, get the ball out of his hands, get completions, don't throw interceptions, take sacks. Now, he could still move, and he could still create some problems for the Jets if they let him get out of the pocket. But It'd be interesting to see what Mike Tomlin decides, especially if the reports are accurate coming out of that locker room that they want Russell Wilson. I mean, Justin Fields to be the starter, a lot of the players.
I mean, there's all this talk about, you know, Devontae Adams and, you know, Breece Hall having another good game, and, you know, Garrett Wilson and all these things. You know, the Jets defense, you know, playing better. And how about, could somebody, please, other than me, point out the fact that Aaron Rodgers is one hit away from being sent back to Costa Rica.
Now
he is getting his ass kicked every week, and T.J. Watt could come around that corner, pick him up, and throw him into the Monongahela. I mean, seriously, I would not be surprised if this was the week that he limps off and he's out for 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, nobody talks about the beating that this guy takes. They're just assuming he's going to be out there. Like, oh, yeah, but it's going to be fixed now. Their offensive line has not been fixed. The offensive line stinks. They don't know the snap count is a disaster. They don't know how to block. They don't know how to pick up blitzes. And he's getting killed.
Well, that was one of the reasons why Todd Downing was tasked to take over the offense and kind of lean a little bit more on the running aspect of it. The interesting thing will be moving forward, and they better win Sunday night because it's getting late early. And, you know, they have 11 games. There's plenty of time to get it right, but you got to start stacking wins here. They have to get back to 500.
Right, exactly. And you can do it very easily, in my opinion, which is not something you say in the NFL. But if you win this game, you beat the Patriots. You go up there and you beat them. You're not losing that game.
And by the way, their defense has played great. Defense has kept them in games. You know, Aaron threw 3 picks against the Vikings. One was returned for an interception off of a turnover that put them in the red zone or close to the red zone.
Right, yeah.
I mean, and so you think about the way that game ended. It ended on an interception that he was trying to throw to Mike Williams, and it was a poorly underthrown ball. And I think he did take responsibility for all of that and basically said, I need to play better. And then, of course, last week's game ends on a pass that's being thrown to Mike Williams down the right sideline as well.
Yeah.
That was a red line thing.
Red line thing. Red line, not red line. 2 goes. Whole deal. All right. When we come back, we got a full bank of calls here. People want to talk about everything that's going on in New York sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.